Let us yesterday, we're trying to understand the answer to this deep dark secret. Why is it that when you have Shneki the Eidim and Mechisha Zuazu, two sets of Eidim that contradict each other? So Rav Huna says, and we pass in Halacha, Zubav is the answer to Eidim, Zubav is the answer to Eidim. Each one is in and of itself independently kosher for future references, future Eidim. We will accept either set and actually both sets of Eidim. The question is, how do we understand that? Isn't it a suffix? Isn't each set of Eidim a Suffolk Shakur, the Suffolk liars? So the Rashbam said, no, we have a right to follow Chazaka Mekar. Since each one of the sets of Eidim has a Cheskes Kashrus, they used to be Kasher, so we have a rule that whenever you have a latest of Suffolk, you always follow what the status quo was. So they were Kasher, 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 until we're not sure they're in Kasher anymore. They retain the status of Kashrus. So we raised the question, raised many questions on this situation. Cheskes Kashrus, Chazaka Mekara. What you're basically saying is that you're going to use Chazaka Mekara, Mahotzi Mamon. You're going to take away money later on. But in 6 months from now, there's going to be a Din Torah. And we're going to paskin that these Eidim are kosher 6 months before based on Chazaka Mekara. And we're going to use that to be Mahotzi Mamon at a later point. How can you do that? We spent a lot of time earlier speaking about the Be'er Shur says, yeah, you can do that. Chazaka Mekara works the Mahotzi Mamon, which was startling. And we try to put that into perspective with robes and chazakas, etc. So then we went down this different path at the very end of the shiur yesterday. And that path was suggesting this B'das HaShev Shemaitza. But B'chon Wasserman says it explicitly, that the source for this idea of following Chazaka, even though it's going to cost us Mammon down the line, is based on the Shittas HaRambam, Ramanucha Sanhedrin. The Rambam tells us that when Eid Echad comes and identifies that this piece of meat is treif, in a week from now, when somebody eats this piece of meat, we're going to give the person Malkus. As long as we have two Eidim who saw the person eating, even though we don't know the meat is treif based on two Eidim, we're only privy to that information based on the Eid Echad, that's okay, that's fine. A Pishnayim Eidim Yochum Dover means that you have to have two Eidim B'shas Maisa Ha'aveira proper. But all the gathering information prior to the actual crime being committed, you follow the regular rules of the Torah, Eid Echad and Bisurin. Whatever regular ways of determining information are sufficient. That was the Chiddush in the Ramanucha Sanhedrin. So comes Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, we'll take a look at the sixth of the Maimakamos, and the Kovach Yurim on his notes on the Shev Shemaitza. In the back of days in Kovach Yurim, he has Ha'oris on the Sefer Shev Shemaitza. So comes Rabbi Chanan and has the following, the sixth of the Maimakamos. Uve'emes tzach yir bezel Rav Huna, heich batzim mo'ad adech hazoch, our question from yesterday, how in the world did he use a chazok to make our status quo to be tzim mo'ad? We're not using a chazaka to be metzi mamon. We're using a chazaka to paskin at their kosher. Once we determine based on a chazaka that they're kosher, menela on the metzi mamon, they eat ksheirim. But if the Torah shows up 6 months later, the Reuven breaks Shimon's window, we take the two eidim, we say, you guys are kosher eidim. How do we know you're kosher eidim? That was past history. That was from the Stone Age. 6 months ago, we figured out, based on Chazaka Mekar, the Yekosha, that is not a violation of being Meitzi Mammon based on a Chazaka. That is simply gathering information prior to the case. It is similar to what the Rambam tells us in Ruchas Sanhedrin, that an Eid Echad is sufficient to collect information, to collect data, and then Mamela later down the line, we're going to give Malkus based on that. Now Rabbi Chanan says something which we should all feel a lot. We should all feel good about ourselves. Dvar Matikin says Rabbi Chanan, this is Alta Torah already. Everybody knows this. What Yeshiva Bach doesn't know this Rambam? What Yeshiva Bach doesn't know that? Hashem, we're part of the Dvar Matikin. We're part of the. This is the reign of the yeshivas. But then Rabbi Chanan has a little bit of a hesitation. VMK and Efshel Leimar, the Rav Chizda Polymelzer says if that's the case, we made such a good case for Rav Huna. Why the Eidim are kosher? Is that Ramam? Let's not forget, if we're to get into perspective, Rav Chisda disagreed. Rav Chisda said the Eidim are in fact psulim. Didn't Rav Chisda hold for this Ramam? Does everybody hold for this Ramam Shabbatera? That collecting information is not subject to the Sugya Shnei Eidim? Maybe not. Maybe, believe it or not, that Chiddush Gadol of the Ramam and Ruchas Sanhedrin is goof for the point of contention between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. It's a Chir B'zeh. Rav Chanan left off hanging Tzachir, we're not sure. Tzachir. I don't know how long it took Rabbi Chodim to say these three lines. You know, we have become Shurim on the Tamsa synopsis of different things that he said in Shurim. Rabbi Chodim said Shir every day in Baranovich for 5 hours straight. That was his daily Shir. Go find the Talmud today. You could sit for 5 hours. Go find the Rebbe. You could talk for 5 hours. I don't think there was a coffee break in the middle. I don't think there was recess in the middle. That was the day, every day, day in, day out, 5 hours straight. Rabbi Chodim said Shir. Different, like I'm in a different world, but at least the Devarim Tikkun part is the same. That the Shtibbel Torah that he said was like to say in our time together as well.
Why do we give this
Chazakah
such validity in the Zechut
Tzibbel
Torah? There's a 50% chance that it's wrong.
Every Chazakah, that's exactly what a Chazakah is. A Chazakah means we have a latest Asafik, we have no idea what the facts are. And the Torah says, "Alpha b'chein, you follow the Chazakah." That's what every Chazakah is.
That's what we don't know. Here, we, for 50% chance, we know that they're liars.
Right, so Chazakah carries over, as long as you don't have a rope against you, as long as all you have is a 50% chance, one way or the other, that's called the latest Asafik. That's exactly why the Torah is Mechadish Chazakah. If it wouldn't be the latest Asafik, I don't need Chazakah for. So the parish of Chazakah is to tell me, even though there's a real valid latest Asafik, it doesn't matter. That's still follow Chazakah.
Well, so from these two sets of Edom and at the beginning of our case, where we know with certainty that one of the two sets is lying, if one from each set then came to testify,
you're mechabit to the Rashbam. The place is really okay. Hang in there for about a week or two till we get to that part of the sugya. That's the quirk of the sugya. We go ahead and we take one from another, mix them together, make a chulit. Is that going to work? Lechora, the answer is not, but we have to figure out why the answer is not to that question. Okay, it's a lumsur question why the answer is not. So now that Rabbi Chodim has connected the dots for us to this Rambam and Sanhedrin, it really behooves us to take a step back and go back to this Rambam for a minute and make sure we really truly understand the Rambam properly. Because if you want to extrapolate from that Rambam, you want to compare the Rambam's case of Erechad determining that this is Chaylev and therefore Chiyamachus kicks in 6 months later, you want to compare that to our case of Chazakah kicks in and therefore the end of Shemer went to Mammon, we have to make sure we understand what the Rambam said and what the Rambam didn't say. So let's go back in a moment, just for a moment. What was the Rambam's case? Rambam's case was an Eid Echad walks in the basement and says, I'm telling you, this is Chaylev. We say, thank you so much. We write down your information. A week later, somebody eats it. Based to Edom Sulam eat it. That's what the Rambam said. I can understand this Rambam in one of two ways. Yesh lach, or what the Rambam meant. Did the Rambam mean that the Chiddush HaTorah of Alpi Shnayim Edim Yochum Dovah, which is really emphasis of the Chiddush HaTorah, that you need two Edim for this and two Edim for that, that Chiddush HaTorah Alpi Shnayim Edim Yochum Dovah was only said on the Yochum Dovah, on the action proper, on the Machab HaPatish, on the murder, and it was said on the Kedushin, it was said on the breaking the window, that the action itself that we're being dad on, that is the Gzeres HaKosav of Alpi Shnayim Edim Yochum Dovah. Everything else, collecting information, everything that's necessary in order for the case to start, Alzeh Lo Nemar Gzeres HaKosav, Bichlal Alpi Shnayim Edim Yochum Dovah. So how do you know truth? How do I know? I'm a rabbi, I have to have the facts. They didn't get do things without knowing facts. So you got to go back to the regular rules of collecting facts, collecting data in halacha. How do we establish that? How do we establish truth? It's like a very, you know, halachic philosophical question. How do we establish that something is true? So the Torah gives us rules. There's parshas of robes, and there's parshas of chazokas, and there's parshas of medech. There's a half dozen different ways of establishing facts. But one thing is for sure, says the Rambam, that there is a cost of a pishna and yedid yacham dov, that you need to aid the mamish pshuta kamashmo. That was never said on prerequisites to the case. That was only said on the case proper, on the actual, literally, we want to know, was the window broken or not? Then and only that is there a parish of Alpi Shnayim Edim Yochum Dovah. That's one way of understanding the Rambam. There's another way of understanding the Rambam. Maybe what the Rambam meant was as follows. That an Eid Echad walks to the basement and says, this is Chaylev. That's an important piece of halachic information right now. That kicks into motion a series of halachas. For example, if I come to the base and I say, rabbis, I want to eat this piece of food. I'm not talking about malchus. No one's giving malchus. There's no base of mikdash, no ocean. No one's giving malchus. I want to know, rabbi, am I permitted to eat it or not? It's a beheter shaila. The answer is no. You know why I'm not permitted to eat it? Because there's a sugya called Eid Echad, Nerem Bisurim. So when the Erecha came, the Erecha registered. The Erecha didn't just talk, didn't just babble. There were halachic ramifications of what the Erecha said. The halachic ramifications were vis-a-vis Issa v'Hefter. Once halachic ramifications kick in, once we, in a sense, accept the Erecha vis-a-vis an area of halacha, we can no longer say, well, sorry, we only accept you vis-a-vis one chelek, and we ignore you vis-a-vis the other chelek. It's a joke. It's a litzonus. The tithe of the asrei. If we say this meat is straight, this chelek is asur, what we're basically saying is, we believe the Erecha. So once the Erechot slips in and gets in their manus, and we register in the book of Beis Din, Erechot has told us information, we have accepted his testimony, and this is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, that this is Chaylev. Now, a week later, somebody eats it, and we're going to say, oh, we're not giving you Malchus, you know what? We don't know it's Chaylev. Joke. You don't know it's Chaylev. You just check your books, rabbis. It says last week's book that it was Chaylev. So it's almost like almost like a migu, and I don't mean this in a literal sense. Almost like migu, we're believing you, we are accepting you, we are trusting you for one area of halacha. We're going to accept you. It's either all or nothing. So since we know there's a parasha Erecha and Bisurim, memela, we're forced to accept you. And if it's 6 months from now, somebody actually eats this chaylev with two eidim seeing him, but you have no choice but to give you malchus. So it's a nuance of difference between the two versions of what we just said with Dasa Rambam. According to the first version of Dasa Rambam, the Eid Echad wasn't necessarily accepted for anything. It's not that there were halachic ramifications, there was halachic significance to what he said. It's simply saying that the parish of Apish Vamei Mechum Dabar was not said on collecting information. That's it. Whether what the Eid Echad said had relevance or not, that doesn't interest me. Eid Echad or other kinds of rayas, robes and chazokas, you name them, are acceptable as long as we're not being banned on the final act of the case itself. That's the first B in the Rambam. The second B in the Rambam is that's not enough. It's not enough just to say that, oh, it's just collecting data, so therefore everything goes. No, no, no. It's collecting data, and it was meaningful data. And it was paskin upon data. Paskin the halach lemaisa shayla based on that data, i.e. erech nebisun, you can't eat that chelev. Once we paskin, you can't eat the chelev, then I can continue on and paskin yichai malchus if somebody eats it in a week from now. That nuance of what the Rama meant may make all the difference in terms of our case. Two Eidim walk at the Beis Din and say, Reuven broke Shimon's window. Two other Eidim walk and say, he didn't break the window. They're yelling, screaming, and basically just paskin, we throw them all at it. We throw them all out. So vis-a-vis this case, we're not accepting anybody's testimony. That's obvious. But now Beis Din has another question. Can we paskin that these Eidim, each set independently, are kosher? Based on what? Based on Chazaka Meikara. Do we have a right to plug in the rule of Chazaka Meikara, declare the Eidim kosher, knowing full well that in 6 months from now, that statement of the Eidim of kosher is going to cost somebody money, because somebody is going to borrow money based on these Eidim in 6 months from now, and we're going to end up being Motzi Mamon. Can we do that or not? So Bukhari said, yeah, for the Rami, you can do it. Yeah, no problem. They said, not at all, no problem. Not at all, so posh. Go back to what the Rambam said. If what the Rambam said is the first beer, collecting data doesn't require two Eidim. So then this is also called collecting data. We're collecting data about the kashrus of the Eidim. We want to know, are these Eidim kosher or not? That's not the case. That's not the Alpishnai Meir Yechum Dabar. That's collecting data. What rules do you use to determine truth of data? Whatever the Klal Yatorah are. What's one of the Klal Yatorah? Chazaka Meikara. How do I know that? Bayis HaManuga. That was yesterday, Shia. So the Parish of Pashas Mitzvah, Bayis HaManuga, teaches me that Chazaka Meikara is a valid way of establishing truth. It's not a valid way of being Maitzi Mabon. For a moment, you need a Pishnai Meir Yechum Dabar. But again, this is the pre-data. This is not the case itself. So the same way that the Rambam said that the Eid Echad is accepted to establish the truth that this is Chaylev, so too the Chazaka enables us to establish the truth that these Eidim are kosher. Now, in 6 months from now, what are we going to do with that data? We'll worry about that in 6 months from now. But if you go down the second route of the Rambam never said that collecting data doesn't need Eid. That's what the Rambam said. What the Rambam said is, there's an afkamina ladina, we paskin an independent shayla, there's an independent shayla, is this food kosher or not? That's not a malchus shayla, that's not what it's based in, that's a kasher shayla. So the OU is called upon to paskin, is this meat kosher or not? So there we follow the rules of Erech and Nebisurin. Once there's official formal psak that's given in a totally separate area of halacha, not doing malchus. This has to do with the shaila, the rabbi can eat the meat or not. Once we use a certain mechanism of nemanos in one area of halacha and it registers in that area and it's accepted, it gets a check and it gets a stamp of Bezin's approval, you can't turn around a week later and say, no, sorry, we can't listen to you anymore. If that's the pshat in the Rambam, the Rabbi Chanan's comparison is not correct. Then we have no right to extend that to our case. Why? When the two sets of Edom come, and now we want to know, are the Edom kosher or not? So we're going to paskin that the Edom are kosher. What in the world is the significance in Halacha to say an Edom is kosher? Not echpatli when you're kosher or not. It's only echpatli if it turns into a din Torah. Everyone's walking around with this grandiose hat that's saying, I'm a kosher Edom. Whoop-de-doo. Who cares you're a kosher Edom? It's only enough to mean you're a kosher Edom if and when you come and be made on a din Torah. So that's not the same as the Rambam. If the Bir Hadov in the Rambam is that the original information had to be relevant, not just that we accepted it and we wrote it down, it had to be relevant, it had to register, it had to be nafkamid l'dinan based in, that makes sense in the case of the Rambam. But that doesn't make sense in the application of Rabbi Chanan to the case of Chazakas of Eidim, because there is a nafkamid whether a guy is a kosher or not, unless it ultimately results in an entire. So perhaps we can almost like add a connection a little bit to Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan said, "Ef shalom de chizda poligos et zochim azeh." That is it possible to say that Rav Chizda doesn't accept that chiddush and Ram? That chiddush and Ram is like you're doing for Hazvar Matikim. Everybody seems to buy into that Ram. Not everybody, but everybody seems to buy into that Rambam. So maybe we could say, of course the Rambam is right. We're not arguing what the Rambam said. Of course the Rambam is right. The question between Rav Huna and Rav Chizda is exactly this point. What's the Bir HaDover in this din that the Rambam is telling us? According to Rav Huna, the Bir HaDover is any collection of data that precedes the case can be done with whatever rules that the Halacha accepts. You don't need data. Therefore, we can compare. If Ed Echad works to collect data, then Chazaka works to collect data as well. And you know why Rav Chisda said that's wrong? You know why Rav Chisda said the Rambam does not apply here? Because if Chisda understood the second beer and that did of the Rambam. I mean, it's a little bit out of order historically. I mean, you know, Rav Huna and Rav Chisda predated the Rambam by 1,000 years. But I'm talking about that din that the Rambam has established for us. It seems to be correct. So Rav Chisda says, yeah, I also buy into that din. But it's a different twist of that din. That din is true by the Rambam's illustration of Ed Echad and Bisurin because of that unique piece of information that the Ed Echad registered and there was an Afkamin Landina. So simply collecting data doesn't do the trick according to Rav Chisda. It has the data that's collected and acted upon. Once it's acted upon and passed upon, then we can discuss further application of it. So a very, very fine line as to what the Rambam did and didn't mean. Do we have any ra'ayas? We're throwing around this hakira with Asa Rambam. What in the world did the Rambam mean? Did he mean Azoy? Did he mean Azoy? So perhaps we can offer the following suggestion. And let's not forget, just to put things into perspective, who the players are here. Much of what we're talking about is really to defend the Sheikh Shmaitza. Because it was the Sheikh Shmaitza yesterday who took the Peshua head on and said that Chazakas don't work Lahitzi Babu. Forget it. Not even in the wildest dreams. Chazaka make card doesn't work. As the Sheikh Shmaitza yelled and screamed and yelled and screamed. If Rove doesn't work, then Chazaka doesn't work. Rove the Chazaka Rove Adif Adkan, says the Sheikh Shmaitza. So it was really the Sheikh Shmaitza who we have to defend. The healing about it. So it's really about the Sheikh Shmaitza. So how do you explain that? What's Pshat Rav Huna? So Rabbi Chanan is guessing those two lines. The Dvar Matikim is guessing. But the Asa Sheikh Shmaitza, maybe it's linked to the Rambam. But the only way for it to be linked to the Rambam is you have to say a certain beer with the Rambam was just suggesting. So perhaps we could show you that this is in fact correct. That we know independently, we did our own research and we found out in our research to show you that the Sheikh Shmaitza himself happens to hold that beer in the Rambam, the correct beer in the Rambam, the beer that's going to lead us to be comfortable with extending the Rambam from the case of the Chalev to the case of the Eidim. But we need a little bit of a background for this. It's a Gemara we have spoken about in the past. It's a Gemara the 17th of Rambam comes. It's a little bit of a complicated Gemara. We'll try to stay a little bit inside and outside. But the Gemara is discussing a sugya of Bensora Umora. Ben Sora Mora is one of those other areas of Halacha, Shlohoi V'lo Yiyu. Yesterday we spoke about Bayis Abinuga. Today has been some, Erdi Dachas. All the cases that never happened, never will happen. But comes the Sugya, of the Tzorah Morem and potentially has a cloud for us that we find in all areas of halacha. Sometimes you can be learning the strangest sugya that seems to be so far off the charts in terms of practical application, and all of a sudden you realize that the entire Yisrael, look there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah in such a way, in such a mysterious way, and it's so many unravels with so many mysteries and so many secrets and so many. Sometimes you find the piece in a puzzle. So too in the sugya and Sanhedrin of Samechtes, Gemara has a fascinating comment about an area of halacha that permeates so many different shaylas, and all has its roots from Ben Tzorah. We know this a little bit of a background. This Ben Tzorah, a very, very simple, basic question. How old is this kid? So, strange question. So we know for a fact he's over by mitzvah. If he's a 10-year-old kid, no matter what he does, he's not going to be held responsible for it. So he's clearly over by mitzvah. On the other hand, the Torah speaks about him like he's a little kid. He has Ben Sora Mark. Doesn't sound like he's 45 years old. I mean, all children are parents, but you wouldn't tell me, you don't think that image. The guy's, 65 years old, but he's still a Ben Sora Mora. I mean, maybe his mother thinks he's still a little boy, but 95 years old, the mother, and the boy's 65, he's still my little boy, but that doesn't seem to be the image that the Torah is describing. And forget the Tashma Pex learns to us that this kid can't be too old. Because the Torah says, Ki yel ish ben soro maura, ben v'lo av. It means the players in the story are, they're the parents, and there's the kid. This kid himself is not a parent. The parents are not grandparents yet. This is not the image that the Torah is depicting for us. Obviously, this kid is still fairly young. So on the one hand, he's clearly over bar mitzvah, otherwise he's not a bar onshin. On the other hand, he can't be too old. So what is the cutoff point in the life of a ben soro maura? The Gemara says that once he's a father, once he's already a father himself, this is Ois Ben Sora already. What does that mean? You have to wait till he's 25, gets married, he has children. He says, oh, no. The Teshuva Pes says, it doesn't mean that he's literally a father. It means he has to have the possibility to be a father. As long as he's royal lekach, to be called an av, then the game's over. That's already too late for the passion of the Suyam and Sora to kick in. So how long does that take to be able to be royal lekach? To be an av. So in theory, once he turns bar mitzvah is an indication of physical maturity and emotional maturity. That's why the halacha says, according to Ben Rishonim, why you have to be 13 years old and you have to have certain kind of physical indications that you're already mature. So l'chora, once he's already 13 years old, he could already potentially be a father. So wait a second. So when's he been so mature exactly? So before 13 is too young, on his bar mitzvah, he's already royally av. The one says, no, he's not really royal Yosav right away. Why is he not royal Yosav right away? Because the halacha is that until 3 months into pregnancy, so the Torah doesn't consider that to be what's called hukah umbra. We don't know that the person is pregnant. And in the olden days, the woman's pregnant a month, 2 months, people don't know, she herself could be, didn't know about it. At what point do we say we reach the status, this halachic status called hukah umbra, that he can be shlosh chodeshim. The person says about shalom yeshiv, after 3 months already, that's when the baby is generally going to be in the show a little bit. That's halachically significant. That's just the metzias. That's a halachic state, a halach category called hukah umbra. Very often young couples, come to me and they ask them, Rabbi, when is it appropriate to say that I'm pregnant? So I said, you just ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, he can be shlosh chodeshim. After 3 months, it's appropriate. Before that, he can discuss it. After 3 months, no one can have any titles on it. If Baruch Shalom said it, you can say it after 3 months. Fine. So that wasn't a psak. It was just the Mar Mocha Benilach. So after 3 months, this woman can potentially be pregnant, which means that potentially we could declare this kid being to be the father. Now again, this baby's not born yet, but once it's hukah umbra, that's already called royal yos av. So that's what Toshua Peh explains to us. That's the whole sugya in the beginning of the eighth paragraph of Sanhedrin, that kol yomav shebin sera mora ein an el gimel chadashim. That the entire window of opportunity to be in sera mora is from the day he turns by mitzvah. Before that, he's not about ocean. So the first 3 months, when he's not royal lekach, quote unquote, to be an av, even though in theory he could have caused the woman to become pregnant, but we don't know that yet. So therefore, the halach was nikva based on hukah umbra. That's the zayshteit. That's the teshuvah peh. Halach marsina. Whatever the malka for this din is, that for the first 3 months, that's the window of opportunity. Sometimes in Pashas Kiseitza, you go to bar mitzvah, and again, they start to talk about the tzera mora. Not exactly the most pleasant topic at bar mitzvah. It's the same problem. Parsha Pesach is a tough parsha to talk about, even though there are so many mitzvahs, more mitzvahs than any other parsha. The problem is, if you go to an offer for you, go to Shema Brachas, it's also, it's a very hard parsha. Every pasuk starts with Kika Chishisha Bailo Snea, everything, everyone dying, everyone's fighting, everyone's divorced. It's not a good parsha for those things, and it's not such a good parsha for mitzvah brushes either. So it's not the cheeriest of parshas, but you gotta make do with it. So we have this Ben Sora Mora, we have a maximum of 3 months. So comes the Gemara and says, no, it's not true, says the Gemara. Maybe this kid could get out of being a Ben Sora Mora a little bit before 3 months. How is that? Maybe it took a Uber before 3 months. How is it took a Uber for Vahikish Losh Chadoshim? So what is the following possibility? This is a biological slash halachic possibility. We're not sure exactly where the Gemara is coming from with this. Where it says, what if this pregnancy is not going to be a 9 month pregnancy? Now, we don't know. We don't have Ruch HaKadosh yet. But what if it's going to be what the Gemara calls a 7 month pregnancy? So in theory, the 3 months. It's not 3 months. Maybe it's a fraction. It's 1/3. Well, the whole discussion, halachically, hashkafically, whatever, benefits, whatever the pshat in the Gemara is, about when you have a 7 month pregnancy, is 3 months written in stone 90 days, or is 3 months just 1/3 of the pregnancy? The Gemara says it's possible that it'll be huka ubra at the point of two and a third months. So wait a second. The Gemara says, hey, you have this poor kid. He's 2 months and 2.5 weeks into post bar mitzvah. And we're about to kill him as a Ben Sora Mora. If he's a real lamda, such lamda Ben Sora Mora, he should say, wait a second, Rabbi, you can't kill me. I'm no longer eligible to be Ben Sora Mora. I'm already royally because maybe that theoretical wife, he didn't get married. He's too busy stealing wine and meat and having parties. He didn't get married. But the theoretical wife that he could have theoretically caused to become pregnant could have theoretically, there's a lot of theoretically, that's the whole din. This whole din is nikvah based on the theory. Theoretically, it had become pregnant for a 7 month pregnancy, and by 2 1/3 months, it's ready to spend Sarah Myra. That's the mustache. A whole sugya, half an omelet at the beginning of the eighth Bechelet Sarah Myra. If you're already going in the world of imagination, you're already, this whole halacha is nikvah based on the theoretical. So extend the theoretical one step further. You know what the Gemara says? No, that's already too much of a stretch. You know why? We follow Rov. Rov Nashim Latesioldos. Most women give birth at 9 months. And therefore, most pregnancies are not in hukar until 3 months. And therefore, the guy can't claim at the ripe old age of 13 and 2 months and 25 days, ich bin an av. You're not an av. The odds are you're probably not worthy to go av yet. Because you follow Rove. Ad kan. Wait a second. Come to Rishon and say, what do we just do? We have this kid again. L'hoi v'lo yit. It never happened. Never going to happen. This is all the olmas al yonim. This is such a deep sugya, as the Chofetz Chaim said, can't even play out in this world. So we have this kid who's 13 and 2 months and 25 days, and Bezin's about to kill him, and he's yelling and screaming, no, my theoretical wife is from the Mir. And we're saying, I couldn't care about your theoretical wife from the Mir. We follow Rov. You're killing a person based on Rov. That's what you're just doing. You're putting a person to death based on statistical Rov. Rov. So he has to be shown him. I don't understand. Ein hocha b'mamon acharov. Hocha b'nefash acharov. Usually it's harder to kill someone and take away their money. Ein hocha b'mamon acharov. You can kill based on Rov. It doesn't make any sense. But this is not my cash. This is Tariz's cash. And said, hey, you're Tariz's cash. Everybody under the sun is tumbling with this cash. So the Sheikh Shmaitza in the eighth of the Ram Kamos. It's a long Sheikh Shmaitza. We got a lot of time to go into the Sheikh Shmaitza. Says, what's the answer to this cash? Says the Sheikh Shmaitza. The answer is very simple. Ayin Rambam, about Ein Echad, establishing the facts of Achilles Chaylev. Says the Sheikh Shmaitza, when we're saying this guy's a Ben Sora Mora, we're not using Rove to determine whether he ate the meat and drank the wine and stole from his father. No, that's all going to be determined based on what? On Apishnayim Eid Mechum Dabar. This is the collecting data. This is the preliminary to the case. Is this fellow Roy Lekach to be Ben Sora Mora? That's the goal of Rov, says the Sheikh Shmaitza. When you're simply collecting pre-data before the case proper, you follow the regular rules of the Torah, whatever they are. Erechad, Rov, Chazaka, you name, whatever the klolim are, that's what you follow. Apishnai Meirim Yochum Dovar was never said unless you're dealing with the Makapathis, the case proper. Any collecting of data before this enters into the courtroom, there is no Pasha, there is no Sugya of Apishnai Meirim Yochum Dovar. What did the Sheikh Shmaitza just do? Everybody said he took the Rambam in Hilchas Edus of Chaylev and he plugged it into Ben Sora Mora. Is there any nafkamina under the sun of determining if this guy is a royal lekach to be a ben Saramora, except for Paskini Hukos ben Saramora, absolutely zero nafkamina. And the Sheikh Shmaitzah still applied the Rambam. But you see that the Sheikh Shmaitzah held that the first side of Achakira was correct with Asa Rambam. That the Rambam did not say it has to register in halacha nafkamina. All the Rambam said is it has to be free case. That's it. Collecting data is sufficient. Remember, we had two started with the Rambam. Do you need collecting data, or do you need collecting data plus something that had enough communal medina? It's clear as day that according to the Sheikh Shmaitzah, the first beer is correct. If the first beer is correct, then we have no qualms with the Bechad is extending it to our sunya as well in terms of the Chazaka. So the Fiani is daiti, the Bechad's application of the Rambam's case of Eid Echad to a case of Chazaka of the Edim is identical in nature to the Sheikh Shmaitzah's applying it to establishing the person's events or mora. It's collecting data without any nafkamina ladina, and that's still an application of the Rambam. So if any is 90, one can understand this Rabbi Chanan, one can understand this Rambam, one can understand this entire sugya, and the Sheikh Shmaitzah is mamish l'shitasa. That all the pieces of the puzzle fit in perfectly, that the Sheikh Shmaitzah is very, very much l'shitasa, who argued with the Neshua yesterday, is saved by himself by the Sheikh Shmaitzah over here. Hopefully, next year on Friday, we'll have to put some final touches on this project.
What's next?
The next one will be the next one, the 31.